And we're back, and we're going to be joined by Brian Matthews, who is a traveling man, and he's our traveling fossils man. I don't know if that sounds right, but anyway, he's our fossils reporter, and he's joining us this morning, and the subject today is dinosaurs in Alberta. And we're speaking about fossils, of course, because it's been some time since one has roamed Alberta. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Roy. It's good to talk to you again.
And you, my friend. Why Alberta, Canada? Take us then.
Alberta is one of the richest repositories. I call it a repository. It's one of the richest places where you can find dinosaur fossils in the world. It's got a great variety, and it's just got a great magnitude of them. And, you know, I talk about the Badlands in particular, where you can walk through these Badlands, and almost anybody with a sharp eye can possibly spot a dinosaur fossil.
Well, you know, that's interesting because you start your article off by saying, as we know, dinosaurs fascinate children and adults alike, and it's an ancient form of animal life that became extinct 65 million years ago. Now, that's hard to comprehend, and that now they're fossilized, and life forms have been a major reason why these professionals and amateurs travel to Alberta. And so I found it sort of amazing that Alberta was such a big source of these fossils.
Well, it has to do an awful lot with the geology. You know, when I take a look at the website from the Royal Tyrrell Museum and the Dinosaur Provincial Park, which are two of the most prominent areas in Alberta, they've got some great explanations there. But it talks about the fact that you know, there were a lot of rivers flowing through this area, which was fairly tropical in nature. There was a lot of warmth at that time. They left these rivers that flowed through, left a lot of sand and mud deposits. They make up the valley walls. Then came along the Ice Age and erosion over the years, which have sculpted out, if you want, the cliffs and the coulees. And the coulee is a French name for a ravine. And so as a result of that, a lot of the geology has remained intact, with the exception of the Ice Age, which has caused some of the erosion. But the fossils have basically just laid there for 65 million years. So there's been nothing like volcanoes or earthquakes, that sort of thing, like you have in other parts of the world, such as Nova Scotia, where everything's all fractured. So you've got these, if you look at the Badlands, you can almost see it like a layered cake, where it's got a layer of sandstone, it'll have a layer of some other Cretaceous rock, and then you'll see the areas that might have the fossils preserved in them. And they're all just flat.
And amazing saying that you can walk around the corner of a ravine and find what looked like a shiny piece of rock sticking out from the face of a cliff, and what you've really found is the tip of a serrated tooth of a meat-eating dinosaur.
That's my own personal experience. That happened 3 years ago.
Incredible.
And it was just a highlight of my fossil collecting journey.
Now, what type of dinosaur would that be?
Well, I suspect it was definitely a tyrannosaurid, meaning it was a meat-eating dinosaur, not necessarily a Tyrannosaurus rex, probably wasn't. One of the larger dinosaurs out there that is most prevalent is called an Albertosaurus, named after the province.
Right. Amazing.
The serrations in the teeth were still very, very evident. It was just like looking at a small steak knife.
So, in this process, you wander around, obviously, in some cases on your own, in this Badlands, as you call it. But the interesting thing that I found is that they have these Badlands science camps. Tell us about those.
Well, these are an evolution of previous programs that have run at the Royal Tyrrell Museum, that used to be called Field Experience, and that's how I started my program. But I was really pleased to see that they've got these Badlands science camps, which are really for children and families. And when I say children, as early as age 9 to 11, could go on what's called a junior adventure camp. It's a 7-day overnight camp. You'll stay in a teepee that's been erected by the Royal Tyrrell Museum. You'll work on site with the museum staff. You'll perhaps work in this case, in the junior camp, you'll work in a simulated dinosaur quarry. They'll already have put some pieces around, and you'll be able to reassemble them, you'll be able to discover them, you'll be able to find out what they were, what the skeleton would have looked like. The scientists will be right, and the staff will be right on site with you to help you identify them and answer all your questions. Really practical, hands-on stuff for kids.
So it's 9 to 11,
right.
12 to 14, which is another grouping, and of course adults.
Right, and in the 12 to 14 group, now they do a little more adventuresome stuff. They're actually going out into the Badlands and actually looking for fossils as opposed to a simulated quarry. It's going to be not necessarily a real quarry, but they'll be prospecting and looking. What's really interesting, most of the finds of fossils have been found probably by amateurs. A lot of those amateurs happen to be children. They're close to the ground. They're looking. They're able to see. As long as you can teach them what it is they might be looking for, and they're really curious. So they don't just overlook things like an adult might.
Right. And they have more patience.
That's right. Well, I don't know about that.
In some cases.
It takes some patience.
Yeah, if they're focused, they have patience. So now, tell us a little bit more about the camps, because I found that really fascinating. With the 9 to 11s, where do they stay in these junior camps? Where are those located?
They're going to be, I'm not sure exactly what the location is, but they will be close to the museum itself. That's the Royal Tyrrell Museum. They'll
right.
be probably within a half an hour hiking distance.
So it's like it's a day trip for them.
Well, it's a morning hike, but they actually stay for a whole week if they want to.
Right, but in like hotel facilities.
Well, in these teepees.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. The teepees.
Yeah. No, they'll be staying right in the overnight in the camp.
Because I noticed on the other ones, they're actually staying in tents somewhere.
Right. Those would be just a little further off-site.
Yeah, those would be the 12 to 14 range.
That's right, because they've got to get those young people out into an environment where they're apt to find something.
Now,
everything close around the museum has already been prospected quite severely.
Yeah, I would think, yeah. Now, so you've actually attended five of these sessions.
I have. Mine were called field experiences, which were definitely much more remote. We stayed in tent camps that we brought our own tents and sleeping bags along, any clothes that we needed for a whole week, including some rain gear and lots of sunscreen. Pretty hot out there, a good hat.
And you went to really remote areas.
Oh, yeah. We would be, even if we tented in a farmer's farmyard, which would have been a summer farm for them, they wouldn't have lived there. They wouldn't have had any facilities available. Would have had a cookhouse that would have been brought in by the museum itself. We would have cooked our own meals, participated fully in camp life, and then perhaps driven a half an hour right into the Badlands to get to the site that we'd be working on.
Which you call bone beds, is that what you call them?
That's right. A bone bed is just a collection of bones. It could be from several animals that have fossilized and lain in one area collectively.
And you further go on to say that southern Alberta has possibly the richest collection of dinosaur bones in the world. That's pretty amazing.
Well, it is. You can find fossils, and I maintain this. You'll find fossils anywhere where you'll find the proper age of rock, and that's one of the things about Alberta. The age of the rock is somewhere between 65 million and 235 million years old, which is really the dinosaur period.
Now, the scientists that have been out there for some time, over a long period of time, how many complete dinosaurs would you say that they've discovered, or skeletons, complete dinosaur skeletons?
Well, I think they've got in total maybe somewhere around 150 complete skeletons. That means they found it mostly from the tip of the tail right up to the nose.
So it's the sort of thing that we've seen in various museums, in other parts of the country.
That's right, and a lot of skeletons have actually been cast into molds, reproduced so that they could be shared with other museums. Because once a skeleton is found, it is fairly rare to find an intact skeleton, and in order for other places to share in that and be able to have the benefit of them on their site, they make casts, molds, sell them to these museums or loan them to them.
Right. Now, you point out an interesting thing. It's called voluntourism and family travel. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the way I view it was, when I was going out on the field experiences, I used to pay money to go, the same as you will if you go in these camps. The prices are on the web page for the Royal Tyrrell Museum.
Right, which are at the bottom of your article. We've got links to all of those. Yeah.
But, you know, any money that I would have paid or any money that these families are paying are going not only to cover their own costs while they're on site, but they're going to support students who might be in the field working, trying to further their education so that they could be paleontologists in the future. And so the money that we spend actually goes to support museum, not just the staff itself, but their own research that they might not be able to afford to do on other terms. So that's where the voluntarism comes into it.
Now, is this a fairly new concept? Because the word is unfamiliar to me.
Well, they've been doing it in at the Royal Tyrrell Museum.
All right.
Probably for about 15 years in total.
Okay.
It probably wasn't very well known because they could never house that many people, never take that many people on a particular summer. It might only have perhaps upwards of 40 or 50 people. I can remember when these things used to come on the website to make the announcement that they were available, they'd be gone within a week or 2 weeks. If you didn't get your name in there early, they were gone. So
yeah,
they were only exposing 40 or 50 people a year.
Right. Well, it's very interesting, and there's some interesting links on our website at the bottom of Brian's article, and I find it fascinating because it's first of all, to me, when I think of Alberta, it's a beautiful place, but I don't think about dinosaurs, and I'm sure there are a lot of people listening that would be very interested in following up on that. So, Brian, I thank you very much. Another great report, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Roy. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Bye for now.
Bye.
Well, that was Brian Matthews, and we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Associate Producer Mr. Bob Fisher, and we're going to chat a bit about some things happening in Madrid.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.